My text this morning is taken from John 19, verse 28, and it is just two words. I thirst. What a text for a sermon. It's a short text, but how comprehensive and how moving this is. I thirst. The eternal Son of God, the creator of the world, the creator of water, and the giver of life, has parched lips and a raging thirst. The Lord of glory needs a drink. What a scene, and what a word this is. Whilst Jesus was on the cross, he spoke seven times. This is the shortest. It is just one word in Greek, and I think it's just one word in Russian. I thirst. It's a word that shows us how much Christ suffered for us. And it emphasizes in particular the physical sufferings of Jesus on the cross. Have you ever been thirsty? It's one of the worst things to suffer as a human being. It is worse than hunger. Hunger pains come and go, and a drink of water can alleviate the pain. But thirst, it never stops, and it just gets worse and worse. I thirst. I want to bring to you four lessons from this simple sentence and word that Jesus spoke. The first is this. We have here evidence of Christ's humanity, that he's a human being. Now, the Lord Jesus is God. He is God, but he is also man. The Son of God had always been God. He is the eternal Son of God. But then in around 5 BC, the Son of God became the Son of Man. And now forevermore, he will be a man. But in becoming man, the Son of God lost none of his Godhead. He remained God. The Lord Jesus is not a divine man, nor a humanized God. He is now the God-man. It's what the Bible teaches us. Don't try to understand it. Just believe it. So as a man, Jesus was fully and completely human as you and me. And this saying, I thirst, is one of the evidences that Jesus is a human being. A man. In fact, it's not the first time we read he was thirsty. In John 4, we read that he asked the woman by the well in Samaria to give him a drink because he was thirsty. And all through Jesus' life on earth, we have evidence that Jesus is fully human. As a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, he was like any other baby. As a child, we read that he increased in wisdom and stature. He grew just like any other child. As a boy, what did he do? He asked questions, just like all boys and all girls. And as a man, we read that once he was tired, that he was hungry. We read he had to sleep. We read that he cried. We read that he prayed. He rejoiced and he groaned. And here we read that he was thirsty. My friends, all this is evidence of his humanity, and evidence that he lived in a world of sorrow. If you think about it, God doesn't thirst. God doesn't need to increase in wisdom and understanding. God doesn't need to ask questions, does he? God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get hungry. And God doesn't need to sleep. But Jesus did. Because he is fully human as well as fully God. Again, don't try to understand it. Just believe it. Never think that Jesus in some way was not fully a human being like you. Never think that because he is also God, in some way he was shielded from what it means to be a human being. He was not. Jesus Christ, not only as God, Jesus Christ as God fully understands what it is to be a human being, because he is a human being. Now, this has one very simple and important application for all of you, however old or young you are. Your Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, understands what it is to be alive on this earth. He understands what it is to be a human being. Let's look at Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. It's on page 1063. Don't worry if you can't find it, I will read it to you. Hebrews 2, we're going to read verses 17 and 18. It's on page 1063. What does he say? Talking about Jesus. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself also suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Now think about how wonderful this is. Have you ever been hungry and thirsty? So has Jesus. Think of what we read here. Have you ever been in pain? So has Jesus. Think of his suffering on the cross. Have you ever been rejected and laughed at? So has Jesus. The people in his hometown of Nazareth wanted to kill him. Have you known the death of a family member, of a loved one? So is Jesus. His father died when he was relatively young. Have you had to work, or are you going to one day have to work for a living? So did Jesus. He was a carpenter. Have you been tempted to sin, to do something wrong? So was Jesus. He was tempted far worse than you'll ever be tempted. The devil appeared to him and tempted him. So as a man, Jesus understands your pain. He understands your sorrow. He understands your loneliness. And as God, it means he can help you. What a saviour. Now let me speak a very little word to the young people here today. How old are you? Does anybody want to tell me, one of the children, how old they are? How old? You're seven? Okay. Seven, thank you. Jesus was once your age. He was seven. He was your age. Maybe you're 10. Anybody here 10? Jesus, 10? Jesus was that age. Anybody who's 12? Jesus was your age. 15? Jesus was your age. 18? Jesus was your age. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus knows what it is to be 5, 7, 8, 10, 15. He understands what it is to grow up. He understands what it is to learn, to read, to write. So you can never say that Jesus doesn't understand you. And because Jesus understands, you can go to him. You can talk to him. And Jesus, as God, can help you. Will you pray to him for help this week? Secondly, we have here evidence of Christ's suffering. I thirst. One of the worst effects of being nailed to the cross, of being crucified, was a raging thirst. This was partly because of the amount of blood that you lost, but partly because of the length of time that you hung on the cross. Do you know what percentage of your body is made up of water? It's about 50%. You're 50% water. And experts say you need to drink 2 litres a day to replace the water we lose. Well, I try to drink 2 litres of tea. Hopefully that's the same. But we need water. And we know that if we go for a few hours without a drink, you become thirsty, especially if it's a hot day. Now, I want you to think about the last 24 hours of the life of Jesus. The last time we read that he had a drink was at the Last Supper on the Thursday evening when he had some wine, which is not very good at quenching your thirst. Then he went to the garden to pray. Then he was arrested. Then he was tried. He was beaten. And then he was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning the next day. And in all of that time, we don't read that anybody gave him a drink. And then what happened? He was on the cross for 6 hours during the heat of the day, even though it became dark. So by the time he cried out, "I thirst," it probably was 20 hours without a drink. He really was thirsty. And in that time, he had suffered the terrible torment of being nailed to the cross and losing all this blood. And the more I think about this sentence, "I thirst," it was actually an understatement. Now we have a fuller description of the thirst of Jesus in Psalm 22 that we read at the beginning. You can turn back to it if you want. Psalm 22, page 490. Now this was written 1,000 years before Jesus was on the cross. Psalm 22, it's Psalm 21 in the Russian Bible, verse 14 and 15. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, and it has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death." This was a raging, terrible thirst. It was a physical torment. Now we need to understand, in order for Jesus to save us from our sins, he had to suffer in two ways. He had to suffer spiritual suffering, and he had to suffer physical suffering. Both were necessary to turn away the wrath of God. We know this because in the lake of fire, the final place that all people go who don't believe in Jesus, there are two aspects to punishment. There is spiritual punishment and there is physical punishment. Spiritually, In the lake of fire, people are separated from God. And physically they suffer pain. And part of that pain is thirst. This is confirmed in one of the few places in the Bible where the suffering of Hades is described. Look at Luke chapter 16. Now remember, this is the words of Jesus. Luke 16, it's on page 926. Page 926, we're going to read from verse 19 of Luke 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's to heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What is the torment of this rich man? It was thirst. He longed for one drop of water. Now we think about the spiritual side of that suffering Christ had when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But here in these words, I thirst, we have evidence on the cross that Jesus suffered the physical punishment you and I deserved for our sins. He suffered thirst for you, so that you will not be thirsty in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Thirdly, we have in this phrase, I thirst, evidence of Christ's love for the scriptures. Now, the Bible was always at the forefront of Jesus' mind. He often quoted it, and he certainly lived by it. And here, even though he's coming to the end of 6 agonizing hours on the cross, even though he's in great spiritual and physical pain, he continues to think of the scriptures. We know this because of what he says in the whole of verse John 19:28. What does he say? John 19:28. After this, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. As Jesus hung on the cross, going through his mind is all the scriptures, the Bible. And he thinks of over the 300 prophecies about him. And he no doubt thinks, yes, that one's come true. That one's come true. That one's come true. And then he thinks about Psalm 22 that we read earlier. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. And he thinks of another prophecy. It's in Psalm 69. We won't turn to it. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Both of these texts point to the truth that Jesus would be thirsty. So to ensure that not one prophecy fails, he says, I thirst. Now this is telling us something very important. Christ was willing to suffer and die without having his thirst quenched or his pain lessened. Jesus didn't cry out, I thirst, because he wanted a drink. He didn't want to alleviate his suffering, even in a tiny way. He did it because he wanted to ensure the Bible prophecies were all fulfilled. That's how high a view Jesus had of the scriptures. It was more important than anything. Do we? As we live as Christians, are we anxious to fulfill what the Bible says we should do? Are we like a lamp? Is the Bible like a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? Are the commandments of the Bible, when it says do this, do we do it? And when the Bible says don't do this, do we not do it? I wonder if a verse in the Bible has ever jumped out of the page and changed your life. Because if you claim to be a Christian, it should. But my friends, this will not happen unless you read the Bible. You need to read it. We thought about this last Sunday. And you remember I encouraged you to read and feed on the Word every day. Have you done that for the last few days? Let me encourage you to do it again. Why? Because it will stop you becoming thirsty. Because here you will find the answers to life and the universe and everything. Let me quote again some of the verses from Psalm 119. It's on page 545. That's Psalm 118 in the Russian Bible. Psalm 119, page 545. We're going to read verses 33 to 40. This is what we read. Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Finally, my friends, and fourthly, we have evidence of Christ's love for us in this phrase, I thirst. When Jesus said, I thirst, it tells you how much Jesus loves you. Yes, it does. He was prepared to deny himself. He was prepared to suffer and die and be thirsty. Why? To save you. And there is more. You see, there is a sense in which even now Jesus is thirsty. He thirsts. What does he thirst or long for? He longs to eat and drink with you. Isn't that wonderful? Just have a look at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, it's on page 1090, a famous verse. The last book of the Bible. What does the Lord Jesus say to those Christians? In the church of Laodicea. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Jesus Christ longs to have fellowship with you. He thirsts for your love and devotion. He wants to spend time with you and be with you forever. And my friends, this isn't just a spiritual meaning. He longs to eat and drink with you physically. He is longing to drink the fruit of the vine with you. Do you remember what Jesus said at the Passover supper on the night before his death? He says this in Matthew 26. Don't turn to it, I'll read it to you. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus hasn't had a drink for 2,000 years. And he's not going to have a drink until the end of time. He's holding off because he wants to have a drink with you. When would that be? It will be at the start of the new heavens and new earth, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn over in Revelation to chapter 19, verses 6 to 9. Revelation 19, just turn over a few pages. Page 1101. "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.' Then he said to them, 'Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true sayings of God.'" Isn't this wonderful? Jesus simply said, "I thirst." Such a short word, but how profound. It shows us Christ's humanity, his suffering, his love for the scriptures, and above all, his love for you. Let me ask, as I close, whether you thirst at all. Do you thirst to know forgiveness of your sins? We've all sinned, haven't we? Do you thirst to live with Jesus forever? Do you thirst to spend eternity with him? Then listen to the invitation that God makes to all of you. Come, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come to Christ and have your thirst quenched. Amen. Well, let us now sing hymn number 264. We have this in our Russian language hymn book. 264. "Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my wretched soul shall find rest beyond the river." Let us stand as we sing 264. Keep me